Gonna begin. I'm gonna record it. Everybody's on mute, so we can begin. Bruchim Aboim to everybody. Parshas Vayikra. We are now less than a week away from Purim, and seeing as this time next week, I don't think we'll be in a fit state to say a shir about Purim. So we'll discuss Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach a little bit about Purim now. We will also see, amidst Hashem, that this is connected to the parasha. This is, after all, a parasha shir. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we will try and connect the Yom Tov of Purim to this week's parasha, Parashas Vayikra. Let's begin with a very profound Sfas Emes. Every Sfas Emes is very profound, and it needs a lot of work to try and understand the depth, the meaning of his words. We all know the famous words of Chazal, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasein V'Kar. There are four words in this pasuk, Oira V'Simcha V'Sasein V'Kar. And the Gemara famously tells us, Oira is a reference to Torah. Simcha is a reference to Yom Tov. Sasoin is a reference to Bris Milah, and Yokor is a reference to Tefillin. So when it says La Yehudim Hoysa Oira V'Simcha, etc., etc., each one of those four words is in fact a reference to something else. Oira is a reference to Torah, etc., etc. And of course, the obvious question, and this is the question of the Sfas Emes, is that if indeed Oira means Torah, so why did it not just say La Yehudim Hoysa Torah? La Yehudim Hoysa Yom Tov and Mila and Tefillin. Why does the Megillah, why did Esther Hamalka and Mordechai HaTzadik, why did they have to write a code word, Oira, which is in fact supposed to be deciphered, meaning Torah? And Simcha means Yom Tov. Why couldn't they have written it directly? La Yehudim Hoysa Torah the Yom Tov the Mila the Tefillin. This is the obvious question that many of the Mefarshim ask, including the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes answers extremely cryptically and profoundly, Kedarkei Bakodesh. And he says, and I'll read his words, the whole Geula, the whole Yeshua of Purim was such that indeed they came to a level and an understanding that in fact Oira is Torah and that Simcha is Yom Tov, etc., etc. Very, very profound words. Oira, Zu Torah, the way the Sfas Emes is explaining, is not a code word. It's not that one thing is meant, but something else is written, and you have to decipher the code. Oira is in fact Torah. The real Oir. The real Oir is the Oir of Torah. And they came about to that understanding at the Yom Tov of Purim. They appreciated for the very first time that in fact, Oira is Torah. And he adds a little bit of explanation, although not much. He says, the Klal Yisrael was zoicha to the Nes of Purim by being chayza b'tshuva. They davened, they repented, and therefore they clearly grew in their ruchnias. They grew to the extent that for the very first time, they appreciated that Oira is in fact Torah. Not so, says the Sfas Emes, prior to this. Because prior to this, he explains, and again, it's very cryptic, and we will try in Yitz Hashem to explain this. Prior to this, their Emunah came about through Har Sinai, which was Kofar Aleim Har Kegigis, that was forced upon them. Now, however, they came about to this realization that in fact, Oiro Zu Toiro. The Sfas clearly needs a lot of explanation. And we will try Be'ezus Hashem to explain it. But either way, according to the Sfas Emes, the way you've got to read the Pasuk is in fact as follows. La Yehudim Hoysa Oiro Zu Toiro. La Yehudim Hoysa Oiro Zu Toiro. That's exactly what happened at Purim. Can I please ask everybody to mute? Somebody on the name of new user is not on mute and it's very disruptive. La Yehudim Hoysa Oiro Zu Toiro. That's what happened on Purim. On Purim, they came about to this realization and the understanding that Oira is Toira, Simcha is Yomtev, Sosain is Mila, and Yikar is Tfilin. This clearly needs explanation. What does this mean? What does this mean? What has this got to do with Purim, that by virtue of the fact they were Chayza B'Tshuva and they attained brand new levels of Ruchnius, for the first time, they understood what Oira really means. Oira is Toira, etc., etc. What is the understanding? So I'd like to suggest a possible understanding of the Sfas Emes, and it's really based on a fundamental understanding of what the Nes of Purim is all about. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will soon see how this relates very much to our personal Avodah on Purim. So let's begin at the beginning. We begin reading the words of the Megillah. Bayomim ohem keshevet hamelech achashveiroi shalkisei malchusoi asher b'shushan habira. The very first perek, second pasuk, it describes the throne of Achashveiroish finding itself in Shushan habira. Says the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Yisai, listen carefully because this is the big yesoid. Says the Vilna Gaon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized that Achashverosh should move his throne to Shushan HaBira. It was not originally there. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu organize that this should be the case? Because there was somebody else there already. And who was that? Mordechai HaTzadik. Ish Yehudi Hoya, past tense, B'Shushan. Mordechai was already in Shushan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was putting all the pieces of the puzzle in place before the final Yeshua came. Such that, to the onlooker, it would look like a remarkable stroke of luck. A coincidence that Achashverosh happened to be in Shushan HaBira, which is where Mordechai was, which allowed Mordechai to be right there on the front row. No, says the Vilna Gaon. That's an incorrect way of looking at things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, behind the scenes, as it were, organized Bahashkocha Protis that Achashverosh should so choose, quote unquote, to move his throne to Shushan, where Mordechai was. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the whole show. Says the Vilna Gaon the following words, and this is the Yesod of Purim. The Nes of Purim is Behester Ponim. Hester Ponim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear in the Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized everything, but Derech HaTeva, through natural, quote-unquote, means. This is not like, says the Vilna Gaon, the Nes of Pesach, where it was B'yad Chazaka, U'bizroya Natuya. It was all open miracles. This is not what happened on Purim. On Purim, it was concealed miracles, but miraculous nonetheless. And the classic example, says the Vilna Gaon, is right there in the opening parak. the fact that Achashverosh moved his throne to Shushan HaBira is nothing short of miraculous, except it didn't seem that way until you read the whole story. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the way I understand when the Gemara famously asks, Esther min ha-Toira minayin. Where is Esther Hamalka alluded to in the Torah? And the Gemara answers, because it says, Onoichi hastir astir ponai, I will conceal my face. Says the Vilna Gaon, do you know what the Gemara's question really was? Where is Esther Hamalka alluded to in the Torah? Does the Gemara ask about every single tzaddik mentioned in Tanakh? Where is there a remez alluding to them into the Torah? Absolutely not. Says the Vilna Gaon, a phenomenal yesoid. Because the Nes of Chanukah, for example, happened in the Zman of the Beis Hamikdash, where there was a hanhoga of Gilui Ponim, open Hashkocha. What the Gemara really means to ask is, where is it alluded to in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha will even be found in the Golus at the Zman of Hester Ponim? We're not so much looking for a remez to Esther as a person, rather the Hanhoga of Hester Ponim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found and to be revealed even in Golus. Where is that particular conduct of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hanhoga, alluded to in the Torah? Says the Gemara, it is indeed. Onoichi Aster Haster. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there will come a period of history in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha will be revealed behester upon him, not begilui upon him. And he says, therefore, to an extent, this is a greater nes than Chanukah. Chanukah was a nes that took place during the Beis Hamikdash, at a zman of Gilui Ponim. This is taking place at a zman of Hester Ponim. Ad kan divrei hagra. And of course, this is a terrific yesoid. This is the yesoid of Purim. And in light of the Vilna Gaon, we understand the famous words of the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu initially davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said the words, Hokel HaGodol HaGibor VaHaNoiro. We see the great Gevura, the strength, the Noiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. But came along Yirmiyahu HaNovi. He was the one who was witness to the Churban HaBayis, and he said, I'm sorry, I don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu being awesome. Goyim are trampling all over the Beis HaMikdash. Where is the Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he deleted that word from the Tefillah. Came along Daniel and says, I see even worse. I see not only the Churban, I see the Golus as well. Where is the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't see Gevura. To the contrary, I see the Goyim being victorious over the Jews. So he took out the word Gibor. Came along the Anshei Knesset HaGdailah, and they reinserted, they put back the word Gibor, and they put back the word Noira. And they said, even in Golus, we can see Gibor, and we can see Noira. The fact that Klal Yisrael survived all of these years against all the odds is itself a manifestation of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noira. The fact that the Goyim can indeed trample all over the Beis HaMikdash and not be punished, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, being Kovish Es Yitzroi, that is a manifestation of Gibor, so we can put those words back into davening. What does that mean? What it means is, Yirmiyahu Novi and Daniel didn't see a conduct of Gibor and Noira. Churban HaBayis, Golos, it doesn't look like Gibor to me, it doesn't look like Noira to me. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdailah said, even in the Churban, Even in the Golos, you can see Gevura, you can see Gibor and Noira. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila see this more than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? Do you know what the answer is? Listen to this phenomenal Marsha. Who was on the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? Mordechai HaTzadik. Mordechai was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. And he was privy to the Neis Purim that Yirmiyahu and Daniel never saw. Mordechai and the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila saw a brand new Hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was this Hanhoga? The conduct of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha being revealed even behester upon him. We can see Gibor. We can see Noira. Do you know why we can see it and you couldn't? Because you lived prior to the Purim Nes. We lived post and during the Purim Nes. And this is, of course, a tremendous hashlama to the words of the Vilna Gaon. Because that's what the Nes Purim is all about. The Nes Purim is discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu even behester upon him. Yirmiyahu and Daniel didn't discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu behest upon him because that particular Hanhoga didn't yet exist. But it did at the time of the Purim story. It occurred to me last night that according to this, we can understand a very subtle difference between the Nusach of the Tefillah on Chanukah and the Purim. What do we say on Chanukah? In the Alah Nisim. In the Alah Nisim we say, Ravta es Rivon, Danta es Dinom, Nokanta es Nikmosom. We say a very similar Nusach on Purim as well, straight after reading the Megillah. Harov es Rivenu, Vahadon es Dinenu, Vahanoikem es Nikmosenu. Again, those three adjectives. But what's the obvious difference? The difference is that when it comes to Chanukah, we say Rav To in the past tense. Dan To, Nokam To. But with Purim, we don't say that. We say Horav, Vahadon, Vahanoikim. That's in the present tense. That's not past tense. There's another difference. On Chanukah, we say Rav To as Rivon, their Rivon, their Dinon, their Nikmosom. And on Purim we say Riveinu and Dineinu and Nikmoiseinu. According to what we've said before, it's Haflev Ofele. Because Chanukah is a celebration of a Nes that took place in the past. Past tense. It took place at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we are celebrating the fact that Ravto in the past, as Rivom, their fight, you fought their fight. Whose fight? The fight of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not current affairs. But when it comes to Purim, we say in the present tense, Harav es Riveinu. Even us, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we live at a time of Hester upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fighting our fight, just like he did on Purim. That also was at a time, it was during the Golos. We're back in Golos. That's why this is in present tense, not in past. And that's why it's our fight, not theirs. We say in that, Sheshanas Yaakov, also after the Megillah, V'tshuosom ho'yiso lo'netzach v'tikvosom b'chol dor v'dor. This is our hope in every generation. Why is it our hope in every generation? Says the Ksav Sofer, the reason why we make such an enormous celebration over the Nes of Purim, more, for example, than we do on Chanukah, where we light the Chanukah candles and that's it, says the Ksav Sofer, in order that these days should be for us a Zikaron Tomid, forevermore, Shaloi Nisya'esh Min HaRachamin, that we should never give up from mercy, behold, Tzara V'Tzuka, in any situation, in any distress, the Purim story more than the Hanukkah story is what gives us hope even during Golos. Even during Golos. And that's why it's Tikvosom Becholdo. It's hope in every generation. The Hanukkah story gave us hope at the time of Gilui Ponim, at the Zman of Amigdosh. But the Purim Nes gives us Tikvosom Bechol Doir V'Doir. And therefore it's not Rav Tor Es Rivom in the past tense, their fight. It's Horov Es Rivenu in the present tense. This is the aside, I think, of all of the Nes Purim as explained to us by the Vilna Gaon. How does this relate to us? We know the Gemara tells us a very strange avodah on Purim. You're supposed to drink until you become shikha. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this. How can this be? Drunken behavior is so looked down upon in the Navi in so many places, and all of a sudden it's commended, it becomes a mitzvah. How can that be? So this, my friends, is where we bring everything back to our parasha. Because in parashas Vayikra, we learn that when you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be brought liritzoinoi. Liritzoinoi. And we learn from over here that if a person doesn't want to bring the korban, if he's obligated to do so, koifin oisoi ad sheyoymar roitze ani. We force him until he utters those two words, roitze ani, I want to do so. And the Rambam famously asks the question, that doesn't make any sense. Because if you force him to say roitze ani, he's only doing so because he's being beaten up. The Rambam is discussing the halachas of Gittin. On occasion when somebody has to divorce one's wife, it also has to be lerotzein. And if he doesn't want to do so and has to, he will be beaten up until he says, roitze ani. Says the Rambam, I don't understand. So where's the roitze ani? He wants? He doesn't want. He's being forced to do so. Says the Rambam, the famous word. The Rambam says the famous words, he does want to. He does want to. That is his rotzen. Why is that his rotzen? Because the rotzen of every single person is to be a true Oved Hashem. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara gets in the way. So when you beat him and you give him makos, you're not changing his rotzen. What are you doing? You're just stripping away the Yetzer Hara. And what are you left with? His innermost rotzen. That's what he wanted to do all along. Says the Chasam Sofer, when was that said? When in our history could we say that the rotzen hapnimi of every Jew is to do avodas Hashem? When were the words of the Rambam penned? Do you know what the Chasam Sofer says? From Purim onwards. Because at Matan Torah we were forced into receiving the Torah. But on Purim, kimu v'kiblu. They accepted it, miritzeinom hatoiv. They were keveya forevermore that this is in fact our deep felt and innermost rotzein. Not prior to Purim. This is the huge change that happened on Purim. On Purim, even if somebody perhaps externally looks like he doesn't want to do Rotzen Hashem, on Purim it was discovered Reitze Ani is the true Metzias of every Jew. That became established on Purim. Let's come back now to the wine story. What happens when you drink wine? The pre-tzaddik, Reb Tzadik HaKoyen says, we drink wine on Purim because we recall the wine that was drunk at the Suda of Achashverosh. On which day? On Shabbos. Says the Pre-Tzaddik, what happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we sing Shirois, V'Sishbochois, we daven and we learn. Our true Pnimius, the true essence of every Jew, is evident on Shabbos more than it is on any other day. When you drink wine, what happens? Nichnas yayin motza soid. The pnimius, one's essence, comes to the fore when one drinks wine. When a person drinks wine, he's being megale his pnimius. You can't hide anything when you're drunk. You can't hide anything when you're drunk is another way of saying that you're megale the pnimius of your true self. And as the Chasam Sofer and the Rambam taught us, this is what Purim is all about. That's why we're drinking wine. Because we're megale our true selves. Listen now to how this is a tremendous hashlama to what we said before. We said the nes of Purim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu discovered through Hester upon him. There's a mask. But behind the mask is HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the show. And our avodah is to be Megale the Hester. Megillat Esther. Legalois Esa Esther. That's part one. What's part two? Part two is that we are Megale our own Hester as well. We are Megale our own true Pnimius. We're Megale HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind that mask. And on Purim, we're Megale ourselves behind that mask. We drink Yayin, so our true self, that Reitza Ani, comes to the fore. And it's almost ironical. On Purim, everybody, kids, all the kids dress up and they put on a mask. When you think about it, it's actually the other way around. All year round, perhaps, we're wearing a mask. On Purim, we finally strip ourselves of that mask and the true self becomes revealed. So those are the two halves of the Purim story. The first half is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be discovered b'toich ha-hester. Even if on the surface you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mentioned in the Megillah. But when you get to the end of the story, you realize that he was there every step of the way, from the very first pasuk until the last. So too, we have to be megale our own Hester on Purim. And even if, as the Rambam describes, sometimes there's a Yetzer Hara, and it looks like, superficially on the outside, that we don't want to do Ratzon Hashem. But on Purim, we remind ourselves what our true essence is. We are megale our own Hester. The avodah of Purim is to be megale the true pnimius, not only of the hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but more importantly, perhaps, to be megale our own pnimius, to get rid of that mask. Nichnas yayin yotza soid. If we come back to that Sfas Emes that we began with, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira. And the Gemara says, Oira Zu Toira. So why doesn't it just say, La Yehudim Hoysa Toira? And the Sfas Emes explains, because on Purim they came about an understanding that Oira is in fact Toira. What this means is, because the Avoida of Purim is to look at things not externally and superficially, but rather to see the pnimios, to see the essence of everything around us, beruchnius ubegashmius. So they discovered for the first time that oira, what is the pnimios of oir? What is the real oir? The real oir is Torah. That was discovered on Purim. What simcha? Everybody has their very shallow definition, perhaps, of simcha. But the deep felt, the deep understanding, the pnimiyos of Simcha, which is Yom Tov, the day dedicated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was discovered on Purim. Yokar. Yokar means precious. We all have our ideas of what's precious and beautiful. It was only on Purim we had discovered the true essence of Yokar. Yokar is tefillin. We put on our tefillin every day, Keneged the lave, Keneged the roish. That way we subjugate, we are meshabed our lave and our roish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pnimius of Yokar. That's the true essence of Yokar. That was discovered on Purim. In the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhoga of Hashkocha Protis mitoich ha-hester was discovered on Purim, so too, as it were, we will megala our own Hester on Purim as well. This is what Purim is all about. I'd like perhaps just to make one final addition. The Gemara tells us that a goy can also be makriv a korban. Gemara Menachos. Every korban has to be accompanied by nesachim. The Gemara says if a goy sends his korban but didn't send the nesachim, we will voluntarily, we will offer our own nesachim. Asks the Shittim Ukubet, says, I don't understand. If a Jew brings a korban without nesachim, you force him to bring nesachim. So why don't we force the goy as well? Says the Shittim Ukubet, says, the whole concept of koifin oiso yad sheyoma roitze ani only applies to a Jew and not a non-Jew. What does that mean? Back to the Rambam. The Rambam said that when you force somebody to say roitze ani, isn't that just a joke? He's being coerced, and the Rambam says it's not a joke. He's not being coerced because this is the pnimius of every Jew. Every Jew, deep down, heartfelt, wants to be Mekayim, wants to be an Eved Hashem. Not so a goy. A goy is superficial only. There is no pnimius when it comes to a goy. What you see is what you get. And if the goy says, I don't want to bring Mesochim, then he doesn't want to bring Mesochim. And you can force, but that's just coercion. There's no rotzoin pnimi when it comes to a goy. And if that's the case, we can answer a question which bothered me for years and years and years. The Megillah describes in such lengthy detail how all of the Noshim were brought to Ahasuerush. 6 months with this oil and 6 months with that perfume. And this pasuk bothered me every single year, for years and years. Why on earth do I need to know all the details of how the Noshim were presented to Ahasuerush? I think finally we have a teretz. This pasuk is not just a side little piece. This is the yesod of the whole Megillah. This is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. When a Jew wants to get married, he looks at the pnimius of the isha, at the Yerushalayim, at the Midos Tovos. Look, however, how Ahasuerus goes about choosing his wife, only based on chitzonius, externalities. Look how much detail, look how particular he was. How many months of oil, how many months of perfume. And then it says, Ubozeh hanaro bo'o el hamelech. This is how she came to the king. Emphasis on the word bozeh. She came with this, nothing else. Only chitzonius. That's why the Megillah describes it. Ahasuerus summons Haman and he says, what should I do Le'isha she'amelech chofetz biyikoroi. I want to honor somebody. Says Haman to himself, who can the king, lemi yachfoitz ha'melech lasos yikor yoyser mimeni. Yikor, he heard the word yokor. It must be me. On Purim, we described, we discovered for ourselves what in fact is true yokor. Yokor zutzilim. That's our concept of yokor. And what is the goy's concept of yokor? So Haman once again goes into detail. Bring the levush, and bring the keser, and bring the sus. It's all about glitz and glamour, fame and glory. That's my concept of yokor. It's all external. So here we see once again the tremendous contrast. On the very day on Purim that we discovered what true yokor is avodas Hashem, tefillin, subjugating our heart and our moyach, our roish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might not always look like that on the external, superficial level, but that is the rotzein pnimi of every Jew, and that was discovered on Purim. Not so when it comes to Haman. Haman, it's all chitzonius. What's my concept of yokar? Yokar is not honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's honoring myself in a gashmius, external manner. Bring me a horse, bring me a crown, and bring me royal garments. You might, however, ask, we also have a concept of big day kahuna, where it says, l'chavoid olisifaret, and in fact, the Targum defines that kavoid is yokor. So we also seem to relate to yokor as begodim. But the Sfarunu there says, L'chovoid o l'sifares, l'chovoid ha'keil yisparach. Who are we honoring? Haman was honoring himself. So the begodim became a very superficial definition of yokor. The big day kahuna is also kovoid, but it's not kovoid of those wearing those begodim. It's kovoid of the one they represent. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is therefore the essence of the Purim Neis and the Purim Avoda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, was discovered for the first time, behester upon him. Daniel and Yirmiyahu HaNavi were not privy to that Purim Neis, but Mordechai HaTzadik was, so he could put back Gibor and Noira. Anochi Aster Haster, a brand new Hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that had never been evident before, not in the times of Mitzrayim and not in the times of Hanukkah. We're celebrating Purim because it's Tikvasom Lechol Dor V'Dor. This is our hope even during Hester Ponim. When there is no Beis HaMikdash, nonetheless, we still are Zeicha to the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But so too, in the same way as we were Megale, as it were, the Hester of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are Megale too, our own Hester as well. The innermost, pnimius of a Jew became discovered on Purim. Koyfin oisoy ad sheyoyma reitza ani, that was Nischadesh on Purim. Not so with a goy. All the perfume, all the oil, the beged, the sus, the levush, that's a goy's definition of yokor. But our definition of yokor is tefillin. And that was discovered on Purim. So mitz Hashem, may we indeed be zoicha la Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sasen v'kor. Not just to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind his mask kaviyachol, but more importantly, to discover ourselves behind our own mask and to connect to our true pnimius and to know that the true pnimius of every Jew is to do nothing but avoidas Hashem. I wish everybody a Purim Sameach. All the best, everybody.
somehow.